Man, oh man, what a day of quarterfinal matches. There were some really good ones yesterday. Hey, Kevin, SF Tennis Freak, and I'm going to do some writing on this too, but I wanted to put out a quick podcast on the quarterfinal results, men's and women's, from yesterday at the Australian Open. And what a day it was. You know, the women's matches were okay. Victoria Azarenka versus Agnieszka Radwanska. Bika versus Aga. Was an okay match. You know, it was a three-setter. I thought it was going to be a three-setter. They typically play three-setters. For some reason, Azarenka's power game doesn't disturb Radwanska that much. And they've known each other for a long time. They've played a lot together. And they're good friends. So there's no unknown quantities, and I think that Radwanska feels comfortable playing against Azarenka and knows how to defend against her game pretty well. And after a while, Azarenka gets a little bit, I don't want to say frustrated, but she may be pressured because she has to keep hitting so many balls, and that's not her want to stay on a point for a long time. So, but she pulled out a good three-setter, 6-7, 6-0, 6-2. I thought that the heat and the frustration might get to her, but it didn't, so good for her, though that means that we all have to listen to her hooting for at least one more round. And you know it's bad when they describe you in part of the description of who you are, Victoria Azarenka, commonly referred to as the noisy player who makes a hooting sound. You know that's bad. But good for her, making it to her first Australian semifinals. And the big match for the women yesterday was Kim versus Caroline Wozniacki. And that was a big, big match. It was the woman who is defending her title, who, even in her part-time status on tour, you know, to step away, have kids, come back, and then only play sporadically because of injuries. It was another one of those matchups like when Serena played Caroline at the U.S. Open, a woman who really is viewed as one of the top players versus the computer ranked number one. And the differences were striking. Caroline defended well. She played about as well as she could, and Kim just took it to her. Kim has firepower off of both sides that, in the end, Wozniacki just couldn't defend. I mean, you know, the balls were just whizzing by her, and she can run, and she's fast, and she made Kim hit a crap load of extra balls, but it just wasn't enough. So Kim came out of that 1-6-3-7-6, got a little bit tense. She was 2 points from victory several times, and still Caroline took it to a tiebreaker. And, you know, and once you get into a third set at the Aussie, with Kim with her ankle having been rolled the previous round and past injury issues and then the heat, you just never know. So, you know, and Caroline will be out there for hours. She can be out there all day long hitting balls, and Kim didn't want to do that. So she's able to close it out in the tiebreak, and so that's our first women's semifinal that's set. Victoria Azarenka versus Kim Clijsters, and I really hope that Kim takes her out. I just have to watch the matches on mute as it is. I just don't want to watch her. So good on you, Kim, and good luck. Roger Federer versus Juan Martín Del Potro. Roger versus Del Po. 6-4, 6-3, 6-2. Roger came out on top, and once again, you know, he's been dispensing master classes, you know, pretty much with ease the last three rounds. You know, first Karlovic, then Tomic, and now with Del Potro, you know, the guy who famously knocked him out and got the title at the U.S. Open a few years back. You know, this match was never in doubt. You know, Roger is just serving too well and working his arsenal of shots too effectively to be bothered by Del Potro's shots, because Del Potro just, you know, he has a breathtaking forehand and a slightly less breathtaking backhand, but he just can't keep enough balls in play to combat against Federer's effectiveness. Federer will match him pace for pace, But Federer can do much more. He can exploit Del Potro's movement, and he can dictate the terms of the match. And that never works well for anyone, let alone a big guy like Del Potro. And in the end, it was just Roger pulling out just everything, drop shots and change of spins and defense. It was a masterclass. And Roger is looking frighteningly strong en route to maybe a 17th title. You never know. I mean, he's still got some tough matches ahead, presumably, well, not presumably, he's got a tough match ahead with Rafa, and presumably, again, if he gets past Rafa, which is a big if, against Djokovic. So it's no cakewalk, but Roger is playing excellent tennis. He's serving well, he's hitting his forehand well, it's not spraying, and even better, people who are trying to break down his backhand are being sadly mistaken and blown off the court by the pace that he's sending back on his backhand side. You know, you can't hit through his backhand. It can hold up. And then he can also take it down the line and burn you once you've camped over in your backhand side. So that was a great match. But the big match of the day was Rafa versus Tomas Berdych. And there was no bad blood between these guys. I mean, there has been in the past, in past matches. But Rafa wasn't coming in with any of the Almagro handshake controversy at all, you know, behind him. He just, you know, Rafa just wants to get past the quarterfinal for the first time with no injury and no physical kind of ailments, because he's been struggling with that at the Aussie in the past years. And last night was a titanic struggle. It was only four sets, Rafa winning 6-7, 7-6, 6-4, 6-3. But it was a monster battle of hitting. And it was also a monster battle of egregious line calls. Oh my God. These were some of the worst line calls I've ever seen. The first crew that they had in the first set, which Rafa lost, and I think in a lot of ways he lost it because it was taken from him. You know, calls were being made late, in balls were being called out balls were being called in. You know, Carlos Bernardo's, who is a good chair umpire, was just not very effectual. And Rafa even said to him at one point, somebody translated an exchange that they had after one contentious call. Rafa said, "You are not a spectator." So I don't know what's happened with this Australian Open with the chair umpires and line calls, but it sucked last night, and Rafa was on the receiving end of some really horrendous calls. But all worked out in the end. Berdych came out swinging. You know, he came out hitting the ball harder than I've seen him hit in any of his matches. And his plan was to just hit through Rafa and just blow him off the court. And he was almost successful. Rafa defended extremely well. But besides defense, he was able to keep his shots deep. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Rafa with his heavier racket and, you know, trying to get more depth on his shot so that he can more effectively combat Djokovic. But it was really all in effect last night. I mean, he feels more comfortable with the racket, and whereas he really wasn't tested in his earlier matches, this was a test, and he really responded. It was really fairly incredible. You know, he fought off a bazillion break points. You know, came up with some extremely crucial and awesome shots. You know, it was really Rafa at his best, and I was a little surprised because I wasn't expecting that at the start of this tournament. You know, his play was a little bit patchy, you know, starting in the exhibition season, and I don't know, he didn't look or sound like a guy who was going to be a contender for this title. He sounded like a guy who was going to try his best and really kind of put his hopes into the spring season. But he played tremendous tennis, and he and Uncle Tony have a kind of winning through suffering kind of motif to their to their partnership. And it really was in effect last night. He made Fairditch pay. You know, if Fairditch was going to beat him, he was going to suffer in the process. And it just started to wear the big guy down, you know, so that, you know, by the end, where Fairditch had been able to control himself and play within himself and within his game, and he started coming to the net trying to volley, and he's a horrible volleyer. I mean, that's why he got hit by Almagro the other day, because he can't volley. And he was just shanking volleys into the net, and Rafa started putting him on the run, and it was a magnificent display. And with each successive set, Rafa started becoming stronger and stronger and stronger, and there were no knee problems, there were no any kind of problems that you could see. It was Rafa at his dominating best. So it really sets up a great semifinal between Rafa and Roger. And that's all going to depend upon, I think, Rafa's serve and Roger's serve. Whoever serves the best is going to be the winner of that match. From the baseline, you know, it's Roger is going to have to do what he hates doing with Rafa. He's going to have to be hitting that backhand that's spinning up into his body. And people have tried to hit through Roger's backhand, but really with like kind of hard, flat balls. Rafa's not going to do that. Every ball is going to be jumping up into Federer, and that's what wears him down after, you know, so long. So from the baseline, it's not going to look good for Roger. But if he serves well and can control the points and how the points play out the way he has in his last three matches, it could be, I don't know, this is going to be an interesting one. My gut says Rafa, especially coming through this Fairditch match, he's in championship form, but so is Roger. So I don't know. There have been some duds that they've had in the last year. I don't think this will be one of them. This is going to be a classic. So four quarterfinals, four great results. I mean, they're all deserving. I really hope Kim knocks out Azarenka, and Roger versus Rafa on Thursday. I am going to be camped out in front of my TV as long as it takes. And there you have it.